Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Cundori & Murad. They're the official Grant & Danny Show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys, and visit kmlawyers.com. Those are our guys. We love them. Tell them we sent you. Mention us. They'll give you a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Nats opening day is Monday at Nationals Park, weather permitting. The boys just gave me some bad news. Said it's supposed to rain on Monday now. Which is very annoying.
Nope.
A couple days ago when I looked, it was supposed to be nice. Now it looks like it's going to rain not only Monday, but maybe Tuesday as well. You know my theory. I talk about this all the time. Every important, exciting day and game at Nats Park history ever, there's always rain. Now, sometimes they play it on time. Sometimes they don't. But there's always the threat of rain. There's always rain delays. I feel like since that ballpark opened in 08, it's a lock. If you're excited to be there, you might have to deal with rain or at least spend the morning wading through the rain so that you can get to the game at night.
And I love me some Nationals. There's a lot that they do well. Whether it's deserved or not, there have been some shebinguses when it comes to rain and canceling and not canceling. And sometimes they cancel and it didn't rain. And other times they didn't cancel it and it was raining for hours and hours. I don't like that very much.
All right, let's get you a winner right now, guys. So, coming on the phones, caller number 10, 800-636-1067. Your chance to win two tickets to opening day, Nats Pirates, Nats Park, April 1st. 20,000 fans are going to get a bucket hat. Pre-game festivities include the world-famous Budweiser Clydesdales, red carpet player intros, live music, face painters, balloon twisters, and a whole lot more. Gates open 2 p.m. on Monday. Let's get to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome onto the show, Tony Pauline. Tony is one of the top draft insiders, has been for many, many years. Always has great information. I always like talking to him this time of year. He's with SportsKita.com. You can follow him on Twitter at his name, Tony Pauline, all one word. So, Tony, I want to start with where you're at after all of the pro days with your quarterback rankings. So before we dive into any of the guys, can you give us your quarterback board?
My quarterback board now is basically the same as it was before Pro Day started on March 6th. Number one is Caleb Williams. Second one is Jaden Daniels. Then Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix. Hasn't changed.
Why Daniels over May?
Because I think that Daniels has shown just tremendous progress the past season and a half. He's a terrific pocket passer who shows enough athleticism to be an RPO quarterback if you need him to. He doesn't play recklessly. I like May in the sense he's got better size, decent arm, but May really struggled down the stretch of the 2023 season. And I like my quarterbacks, you know, when they enter the draft, to kind of be on the rise, which is what Jaden Daniels was. He literally, since the middle part of the 2022 season, he seemed to almost improve weekly. And he just did a phenomenal job in the SEC. You can tell he gets it between the ears. He does a great job reading the defense. He doesn't make bad passes or questionable decisions. There's just, when you really get into the tape, deep into the tape with Jaden Daniels, there was just so much there to like about him.
So I want to hit the flaws that you hear about these two guys from everybody and get your takes on them kind of back to back here. So we'll start with May. This idea that he might have to sit for a season or that maybe he's just super inconsistent with his mechanics. What do you think of those things?
Well, I think it's the benefit of every rookie quarterback to sit for a season. I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons why we see so many fails at the position. It's not a coincidence that Patrick Mahomes, who is the best quarterback in the league today, actually sat for a season, right, in Kansas City. That's not a coincidence. So when they say he's got to sit for a season, to me, that's not a flaw. That should be, you know, not a necessity for every quarterback.
Well, I guess to clarify, I don't know if you hear the same thing, Tony, but some of the guests we've had on have said, like, they don't think Daniels or McCarthy or Williams need to sit, but they think Drake May does.
Well, I mean, it was the same thing with Anthony Richardson. I felt that with Anthony Richardson last year. I don't really feel that compared to Richardson with Drake May. I think there was a bit of streakiness. I think there were some questionable decisions that he made down the line. I think the team around him was falling apart, and he tried to take too much on his own shoulders. So there's going to be a bit of rebuilding there with Drake May.
All right, then on Daniels, some of the flaws that you hear about are a lot of them analytical, right? Pressure to sack percentage is alarmingly on a list with a lot of guys that didn't make good transitions, doesn't throw to the middle of the field a lot, had the highest percentage of wide open throws deep down the field this year, maybe because he had two first-round receivers. What do you say to some of those things?
Well, I mean, if he's taking a lot of sacks, I would rather take a sack than have an errant throw, a bad throw, because no one's open. So, that you know, while he may have a high number of sacks to pressures, that could also be a good thing, you know, because it means that he's not forcing the ball or basically making an errant throw under pressure. As far as throwing over the middle of the field, they really didn't have a tight end. That's also, I believe, the end result of the types of routes that they ran and the offense they ran. Very easy to teach a guy to throw over the middle. If there's a knock on Jaden Daniels is, you know, he's not a real big pocket passer. I mean, he's a thinner guy. You may have to wonder how he's going to withstand the rush, especially on a team like the Commanders that need help at tackle. That may be a concern. But there's so much about his game that I absolutely like. And there's so much to build on. I mean, you look at Jaden Daniels, you know, stayed for 5 years in college when he could have left for last year's draft. And it turned out to turned up aces for him. And here's a guy who had a lot of hype at Arizona State early in his college career, was more of an athlete than he was a passer, and really has just developed as a passer.
Tony Pauline with us here on Grant and Danny. So what kind of system would fit Daniels best now, and then what does he project to kind of down the line in terms of developing maybe as a pocket passer like you're talking about, Tony?
Well, he throws from the pocket well now. I don't think, I don't think it's, you don't want him in a Baker Mayfield type of system. You don't want him in an RPO type of system, although he has the athleticism to play in that system. He's shown the ability to make plays with his legs, but he's not reckless about it. He's patient in the pocket. I think you can put him really in any type of system. Maybe not so much a West Coast system or a timing offense at this point in time, although he has the ability to develop into that. I just think he's got tremendous upside in his game.
Tony Pauline is with us on Grant and Danny. What are you hearing about the Commanders at 2 and which direction they might go in?
Well, I'm hearing that they're not going to take J.J. McCarthy at 2. That's the feeling. I mean, I know there was a lot of out of context about that last week with a couple of tweets, but I don't think, you know, from what I hear is no one thinks it's going to be J.J. McCarthy over Jaden Daniels. Right now, it looks like it's going to be Jaden Daniels number 2. Now, what people need to remember is after the Easter holiday, the pro day workouts are over. Teams are going to get together, all teams franchises get together for about 2 weeks of draft meetings. And middle of April, you'll probably have a much better read on what's going to happen. But I say if the draft was tomorrow, and the Commanders were called to the clock, the pick is going to be Jaden Daniels, which I would applaud.
For Drake May's purposes, how far could he slide down? Could McCarthy go in front of him?
I would be shocked. How far could he slide down? He's not going to slide further than the New York Giants at six. The Patriots don't take him at three, I think that fourth or fifth pick is somewhere where teams will start to trade up, whether it be Minnesota, whether it be Denver, you know, to grab a guy like Drake May. He's not going to make a very big fall. If somehow he gets past those couple of picks, he'll end up at six with the Giants, which is where I had him going my last mock draft, which was right after the combine.
More broadly on J.J. McCarthy and Tony Pauline, draft experts with us here on Grant and Danny, why do you think he is climbing so fast, so high on all these boards that I don't want to say the teams have, because we have no idea what theirs actually look like, but mock drafts and some of the draft pundits have?
Well, because draft pundits go by what they read. Now, you know, you kind of add, there's two answers to that question. It's because draft pundits, you know, read what's going on, and that's where they go with their mock drafts. The fact is this is, why is J.J. McCarthy now being talked about as a top 10 pick within the league? Well, because if you watch J.J. McCarthy play, he's a great leader. He's got great moxie. He's got great confidence. He did a great job leading that Michigan offense and playing within the system that didn't require him to throw the ball more than 15, 16 times a game because they had such a fantastic running game with a great offensive line. And what's going on is that confidence, that moxie, that ability to read and do the right thing has come over well in interviews. And teams love that when they talk to, you know, whether it be J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback, whether it be Mike Sanistrill, the defensive back from Michigan, all these Michigan guys in this whole process and lead up to the draft have come off as intelligent, high football intellect, know what's going on. And McCarthy has done that at the all-important quarterback position. And, you know, scouts and coaches and general managers hear this guy talk and they're like, wow, this is the guy that we want leading our team. Problem for J.J. McCarthy is he doesn't have near the arm talent of a Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniel or Drake May. And my concern with J.J. McCarthy is if you watch the film, a lot of those questionable throws that he was going to get away with on Saturday will end up as interceptions on Sunday.
Tony, I love Michael Penix Jr. Now, I wouldn't take him at two because he's a little bit older and I worry about those knee injuries. But I'm wondering why some folks have him not going in the first round at all. Some folks seem to sort of treat him as an afterthought after the other quarterbacks are talking about. I think that dude can play, and someone's going to benefit there. I like him personally as well. Give me your thoughts on him.
Well, you're talking to someone who doesn't have him as a first-round pick. He may end up as a first-round pick if a team that doesn't get a quarterback in the top 10 decides to trade back into the late part of round one. But why is that? When you really watch the film of Michael Penix, it's very streaky. I mean, there are some times where he just makes incredible downfield throws and he's a great arm talent and you're like, wow. But then the next two or three series or even two or three quarters, you're like, what's going on? Because he's missing wide open receivers. So it's that streakiness. It's that inconsistency. You mentioned the injuries and the age, which basically limit the upside. I mean, you compare him to a guy like Jaden Daniels or Drake May, those guys have tremendous upside. Those guys, if coached and developed properly, should be much, much better quarterbacks two or three years down the road than they are the day they are drafted. It's not the same with Michael Penix. There has been some concern going back to his days at Indiana about work ethic. He didn't like the weight room, which may have led to many of these injuries. So you add all that up and with the quarterback being position being, you know, a here and out and a make or break for some general managers, that's why Penix is not spoken in that same conversation as those top three or four guys.
Tony Pauline with us on Grant and Danny. We haven't asked you about Caleb Williams. He's going to go one, obviously. Any concern with any of the smoke and stuff that's been around him, whether it was fair or not, all of the noise that came out. We haven't really seen that since Kyler Murray, and he's had all kinds of issues in the locker room with his teammates.
My concern with Caleb Williams is he's an arm thrower at times. He's not a fundamentally sound thrower. You know, they talk about the off-platform throws and the ability to improvise. Caleb Williams seemed to live off of that. And you've got to be able to play from the pocket, and you've got to throw with proper fundamentals on Sunday. If you watch Caleb Williams, he throws off of his back foot. He doesn't follow through, you know, the sidearm throws. And again, go back to what I said with J.J. McCarthy. A lot of those throws you can get away with on Saturday, but on Sunday they're going to be interceptions. All this smoke and stuff, I mean, he was a terrific leader at USC, but it comes down to the fundamentals and the throw and you know the footwork and not throwing properly off of his front foot, things like that, and being more of an arm thrower. Those are my concerns with Caleb Williams.
What about Bo Nix? I know he's probably the back of the pack in this group, but I could see him going in the first round as well. Maybe somebody trading in to those high 20s, right around 30, maybe like Baltimore did with Lamar Jackson, and finding themselves a pretty productive college passer.
I'd be shocked if he's a first-round pick. And I'd be shocked because while he was a tremendous college quarterback at Oregon, kind of followed that Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix blueprint, making the transfer from Auburn to Oregon, you know, got better as in 2022, really knocked out of the park in 2023. You know, he's more of a system quarterback. And when it comes to Bo Nix, you question the arm talent. You know, he had a chance at the Senior Bowl to go and knock it out of the park, and he didn't. He struggled during his combine workout, threw a couple of bounce passes, struggled getting the ball downfield. And the question about Bo Nix is, you know, is he anything more than a game manager? Is he anything more than a Mac Jones type on Sunday? He never answered those questions. In fact, the answer is you kind of doubt he's anything more than a game manager, which is why he's going to be a day two pick.
Tony Pauline on Grant and Danny. I'm actually on the Sports Keta NFL mock draft simulator right now. I just moved back to pick number 4 for Washington.
Oh, look at you.
Two spots back.
Reeling and dealing.
Was still able to get a quarterback of my choosing, which is pretty cool on the site that Tony is the draft expert for. What kind of activity do you expect to see in terms of coming up for a QB? Everybody knows the Vikings with 11 and 23 want to get into the top 5. If they don't and someone else does, who do you think it would be?
Denver. I've reported since the Shrine Bowl, if you follow me, that Sean Payton is desperate for a quarterback. He likes the top guys. He fell in love with J.J. McCarthy at the combine. So I think he's probably willing to mortgage a lot to move up and get a quarterback. I think the Raiders are a team that may consider it. But I think it's going to be the Vikings or it's going to be the Denver Broncos right now.
Tony, this is great information, man. Really appreciate the time and insight and everything else. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, be good.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony Pauline on Grant and Danny, breaking down the quarterbacks at the top of the board with us on The Fan. It's hard to be upset with anything that you hear they're going to do, as long as it results in them getting a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because right now Marcus Mariota's the starter. What would be the decision they could make that you wouldn't like, among a lot of things that could make you excited? Let's get into that next on The Fan. Thank goodness for rain yesterday and postponed baseball games. Because Major League Baseball was going to have nothing on television all day today. Until nighttime baseball on day two of their season. They really can't get out of their own way.
Seriously, so what's blocking us? Us?
Yesterday was opening day. People are jonesing for some baseball today. Sorry, we like baseball. We wanted to watch a little bit of it. Throw something on the TV here in the studio. And they did everything they could to not have any games available. But there have actually been two baseball games this afternoon. One of them still ongoing, the Braves and the Phillies in the late stages because there were a couple of postponements yesterday. Just some storylines from opening day around the big leagues. Poor Mike Trout hit a home run for the Angels, and then they got pounded. Orioles scored 11 runs. The rest of his teammates had no hits.
Yeah.
Just an embarrassing loss for the Angels on a day where Mike Trout went deep at Camden Yards.
It's one of those, somebody had a great meme a couple years ago, whatever it was, like, Mike Trout is the first player to ever home run, you know, hit nine homers in two games, and has this many homers, this many steals, and this many amazing things. And the Angels are 1-64 in that time and been eliminated from playoff contention. It's like that's how it feels. And now, especially without Shohei, it's just that Angels club. Gross.
I guess to the credit of his teammates, they did have two hits and scored at the end of the game, but they got basically no hit for the next seven innings. Corbin Burns at one point retired 16 straight in his Orioles debut.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that went? He is Scherzer for them. This is where you go out, you get the pitcher everyone's excited about. Yesterday, six innings of one-hit ball, and he punched out 11 while the Orioles just mashed. Adley Rutschman, couple of hits, multiple home runs for the Birds yesterday. As I said, 11 runs scored. They're going to be so good. And did you see their new owner? Who just bought the team. Is it David Rubenstein or David Rubenstein? I never know how to pronounce his last
Stein
name.
It, because I heard somebody smart do that. I don't remember who. I was like, okay, I guess it's not Stein. Stein.
Like, I've heard his name for years. He's super rich, and he's kind of always around.
Successful dude.
He just bought the Orioles. He did the Josh Harris bit.
I'm kind of pissed off about this.
So it was actually a couple of their other minority owners. It was like maybe their Mitch Rales and their Mark Ein. But they went over to Pickles, which is the bar right outside of Camden Yards. So think about, you know, Nats Park, like Walters.
Basically. Salt Line, Walters right there, yeah.
So they go over to Pickles, and the two owners get up on the bar, and they're standing there trying to get everyone's attention for a couple minutes. Finally, they can. And the guys are like, just want you to know, I'm so-and-so. I'm a new owner of the Orioles. They're like, yeah, this is so-and-so. He is, too. Yeah. We want to buy you guys all a beer. No, 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 no. That's Josh Harris's move, man. Imitation, form of flattery, I suppose.
We're exploring all sorts of opportunities and avenues to make sure they know that's not okay. That's Josh Harris called us, bro, and told the people.
That's a good point.
He passed it on to the people via the conduits of old Fanny and Granny right there.
And he bought a few more beers, too.
Yeah, he did.
There were thousands. Thousands! At the bullpen that day. I'm sure Pickles was hopping pretty good.
Yeah, Pickles was jumping opening day. Nice day, but it's not the same.
Bullpen was hopping a little more.
Not the same. Thank you.
But you saw that, though?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's a good video.
Yeah, people sent it my way.
It's a power move.
By the way, it's now standard.
Yeah, you better do it.
If you don't do it, do you even own the team, bro? A
little jealous of the Birds, I got to say.
Yeah, it's nice.
On their way to a hundo probably again this year.
Would you look at that? It's a top prospect. Oh, look at that. It's a top prospect. Would you look at that? It's another top prospect.
Speaking of prospects, James Wood. Double in his AAA debut
there
today.
Yeah.
I did strike out three times.
Now listen,
first.
The other part was the double. Double.
The double. Extra base hit today keeps the phone call from the major league team away.
I don't know if that's no.
He got to second base
yes,
today.
Yes, he did.
With his bat. By the way, it was 38 degrees, I saw. So you know they do that 40-degree guarantee move. Have you heard about that?
No, what is that?
Rochester, the Red Wings, every year, first game of the season. They've had the same owner for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's got a bit. And basically, it helps people to buy tickets. But he guarantees that if it's not 40 or more degrees, I will pay you money back for your ticket. And you can get a ticket for a game later in the season.
Fantastic.
So everybody scoops their tickets because if it's 38 or 39 degrees, you just don't go, maybe, like today.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just get your money back anyway. Or if it's over 40 degrees, I guess if it's 42 in Rochester, they can deal with that.
Yeah.
Still sounds pretty cold to me. But
if you're up there, that's more normal.
It's like a Groundhog Day thing. Uh-huh. Did he see his shadow? So the 40-degree guarantee in Rochester today.
That's fantastic.
James Wood, Jacob Yug, and the boys that we just loved in West Palm at spring training. They're playing.
Yeah, how about that departure, by the way?
37 and a half degree weather.
80 degrees, West Palm, afternoon game, and now you're down to the upper 30s. By the way, most sports don't really work in that kind of weather. Baseball sucks
in
that kind of weather.
I was texting. It's funny. Cole Henry, who you met at spring training,
of course.
Really good dude. So I was texting with him last night, one of the pitchers in the Nats system. He was all fired up that Trey Lipscomb got called up from AAA. So he's going to AA to start, not AAA.
Yeah.
Because they want to stretch him out and let him pitch some innings, essentially. And he was saying, basically, he's like, I'm kind of glad I'm not going to Rochester. I don't know if you've seen the weather there. And I'm like, dude. I was like, it's going to be like 35 tomorrow. He's like, although as a pitcher, I don't mind pitching in that because the hitters hate it.
There's nothing worse. Nothing. you're terrified of having bad contact. Like if it happens, it hurts so much. Yeah, and then it's like a you're out of your swing.
Though, it just feels fine.
No, it feels like hitting a bowling ball.
You get like the
when
sweet spot.
Really cold. So have you ever gone like duck pin bowling back in the day with like the tiny ball, pins?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like when you square it up when it's freezing. When it's cold, you know, you hit it normal, it just doesn't go anywhere. But when it's really miserable like that, and you square it, you go, I crushed it. It's like it goes 9 feet. It feels like, you know, you don't work anymore. And it takes you out of your swing. Oh, it just sucks.
Got to wait till tomorrow for the Nats to get back to action. But I think AA, single A, Fredericksburg,
they
start next week. So AAA was today, and then I think it's like 8 or 9 days from now for Harrisburg and Fredericksburg, the Nats affiliates. But James Wood is on the board with an extra base hit in his first game in AAA. You can get your We've Got Wood or your Cruise Wood shirts that we will be donning on opening day right now at 106.7 The Fan's merch shop. So you can go grab that as we speak. We'll be giving some away at opening day festivities, Green Turtle here in the Navy Yard, ahead of the first pitch on Monday. There's a lot of good options for the Commanders with the second pick. And this is what I try to keep reminding people.
Uh-huh.
Seems like everyone gets very upset at any notion other than the guy they want isn't going to get drafted. So if you're a Daniels guy and you hear May, you're angry or vice versa. That really shouldn't be what this is. They could get May, who might be Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
They could get Jaden Daniels, who you could dream on becoming Lamar Jackson. They may get J.J. McCarthy, who you can dream on becoming...
trying to think of someone with a low ceiling.
Brock Purdy?
I guess. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not even trying to be disrespectful.
No, I know. Yeah,
I don't have
Purdy's
a good
man.
Who do we think?
There's some Cousins-like attributes,
maybe
honestly.
Kirk Cousins? Yeah. Oh, okay, I'll take that. Good options.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst thing? What could they do that would actually make you the most mad? And by the way, I'm not trying to steer you away from saying picking one of those guys.
No, I understand.
Like, if you think the worst thing they could do when they're on the clock at two is take Daniels because you think he's a bust, or May because you think everyone's wrong and the guy's just going to be horrendous, that's fine. 800-636-1067. But of all the options, the opposite of Argo, with a bunch of good options, in my opinion, what is the thing that they could do with the second pick that would actually make you the most mad? Danny, you go first.
So of all the options that exist is to do the Rivera and find a quarterback later. I don't think that's what they're going to do.
Hang on. So you're just saying don't draft the QB?
Yeah. So they go, we don't like any of the guys.
Okay, let's set ground rules so no one tries to do bad bits. So trade up, trade back, or then you're taking one of the three.
Yeah, trade up bad. I would not like that. I think that's foolish.
That's the thing that makes you the most
angry. That's the thing that would make me the most angry. And again, I wouldn't be angry. Rivera made me angry. That wouldn't make me angry. I'd go, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't stay at two, and I wouldn't take a McCarthy. But I wouldn't be moved to anger, because the whole point is we're trying to find the highest ceiling quarterback with all the means at our disposal. No one will care how he's acquired if the dude is as good as they think he is, right? So to me, if that's the risk, that's the gamble, okay, that's fine. Whether I would have done it or not is different. But to me, trading up, if there's – I'd be moved to – that doesn't seem right. Like, that's as far as I would go. I don't think I have anger in a draft other than not ending up with a QB.
I'll be angry if they trade up, for sure.
You'd be angry?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you need to. I don't think there's a big enough gap, or gap's probably wrong because maybe Williams talent-wise has a pretty substantial difference from the other guys. But there's certainly not a big enough discrepancy, in my opinion, of certainty of how good they're going to be. So, yeah, you'd have to give up picks this year, picks next year. No, thank you. I would be really upset if they trade up. But I'm actually going to go with a different one. I'm going to say trade back out of the top four. And then you don't end up with one of the big four. Used to be a big three. It's kind of become a big four. So in other words, if they trade back to three with New England and they still get Daniels or May, okay. If they trade back to four with the Cardinals or whatever team comes up, let's say the Vikings trade up to four to Arizona and then trade up again to two or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If they trade back to four and they still get a QB, maybe that's May or McCarthy. Great. I'd even say five, if I could put it in pencil, would be fine with the Chargers or whoever comes up there, assuming there's still a fourth quarterback. But the thing that would make me the most angry is if they trade back and miss out on the four. That's my answer.
Mm.
Yours is a good one, too, in terms of the trade-up.
Yeah.
I can't miss out. I think I've got to stay in the top four because I need to make sure. It's the only way I can guarantee myself one of those four
guys. Yeah, I mean, the math works there, certainly. Unless something happens where you know Arizona's not moving and they're taking Marvin Harrison or something, right? Like, that's the only way that you could go to five or lower and do it.
Do you care at all that Harrison's done nothing?
Yeah, I do. Now,
I don't even mean, like, I'm not going to run at the combine. He didn't go to the combine. He's like, yeah, I'm good, thanks. And then he did nothing at his pro day. Whereas a lot of the guys that didn't do anything at their combine, they said, well, I want to make sure people come see me at my pro day because my teammates will benefit from all the people that will be there. I think that's a good answer an agent gave you, but okay, that's something. Marvin Harrison said, oh, they're at the pro day, seeing all my teammates? Cool, I won't do anything there either. He's like, you saw my film? I don't need you. Just new school player empowerment move.
Yeah, I know I'm an old curmudgeon, and I like people showing eagerness for the job that they don't have yet. You know what I mean? Like a veteran NFL wide receiver being asked to work out or something, I'd go, no, probably not. I don't need to do that. I just went for 1,200 last year or whatever. He's not in the league yet. He's going to be. And someone's going to take him very high, and they should. He's an unbelievable wide receiver.
Yeah, I might be a hypocrite because I am both annoyed and find it to be off-putting, but I would also take him in a heartbeat at like 8.
Yeah.
Having said that, to see Roma Dunze work out the way he did, I was thrilled by Malik Nabers' workout, who I love. I think Malik Nabers will be a top 10 receiver in the NFL. I think the world of him. He ran an incredible 40 at his pro day, did every, hey, come on and watch me. I don't need to have better film. I just had 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns. But in the meantime, I'm going to work my ass off while you're here as well. Like, I like that. I like a guy that's doing everything he can. He doesn't have to. He's going in the top 10. He knows that. So maybe I would take him at 4 over Harrison and just say I like the cut of his jib. I like the other guy's dad is one of the great receivers in the league. There's bloodlines there. You're pretty confident in it. But his dad's Marvin Harrison. He's kind of saying, I don't really need this. It just feels like he's above it all.
Yeah, which I don't love.
He's pretty damn good.
No, he's great. I mean, he's as good a receiver prospect as you're going to find.
Maserati Marv. As Gus Johnson said 800 times for every Ohio State game. G&D with you. Phones are open at 800-636-1067. What would be the worst thing the Commanders could do with the second pick, the thing that would make you the angriest, is? That's next on The Fan. We are out of here a little early today. This is the stretch run of Grant and Danny on this Good Friday because... Daniel?
A little college hoops tonight, right?
College basketball. NCAA tournament action tonight, and the Sweet 16 can be heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. Games tonight. This is going to be fun, actually. I'm fired up to get home and get on the couch. NC State Marquette, 11 against a 2. Not going to be as lopsided as it sounds. NC State's been a machine.
Burns, man.
That's a big boy. -7.5 for Marquette, the favorites. Big East Paulson's got two Big East teams to root for tonight with Marquette against NC State.
Should the Big East have gotten more teams? They seem to be doing okay, huh?
Handled their business.
Yeah.
Creighton, the 3 seeds, taking on 2 Tennessee. Tennessee's looked really, really good so far in this tourney. That's the 10-10 East Time game on TBS. Got Gonzaga, 5 against Purdue, 1. Purdue's 31-4. They are trying to exercise some demons. Matt Painter and that program has had such a hard time getting deep into the tourney.
They've been the overdog many times and have not done anywhere near enough with it.
It wouldn't be embarrassing to lose in this round now. They're only 4.5-point favorites, so it's going to be a competitive game. You got to the Sweet 16, but you're a 1 seed, man. Like, you should be able to beat 5 seed Gonzaga with Edie getting you 20-10, and you should be able to get to an Elite 8. And at that point, I think you give Painter a break and you say, okay, they had a good run. They don't get to the Final Four, they don't win the whole thing, fine. I don't think it's a huge disappointment if they got to the Elite Eight. If they lose tonight and you got to the Sweet 16 and then you were eliminated, I still think that's disappointing.
It is. And listen, it's not each year there's, it's not enough. It's not the end of the days for North Carolina, for example. It didn't happen this year. I won't see that got upset because there's enough of a track record where they've had the success. Purdue never has. It's been forever, and they've had excellent teams that have never gotten past. So one time is a one time. A running trend where they've been a 1 seed, a 2 seed, a national power with you know, NBA players or stars here, there, and everywhere to never do it, then it becomes a thing.
Let's get to the phones, 800-636-1067, MGM, National Harbor Listener Lines. What is the worst thing that Commanders could do with the number two pick? Vix and Akakeek, what's up, buddy?
What's up, y'all?
Hey, buddy.
So I would be upset if they drafted Drake May. I would. I feel that Drake May is a great Heath Shuler. I mean that. Drake May has the measurables and he's big and all of those things. But Drake May has not shown me the eye intelligence throwing the football. He throws too many interceptions. I know he had talent in the couple years, in his first couple of years there, and they said, well, some of the talent dropped off like Sam Howell. But I believe, if I even go further, he's a poor man Sam Howell. What has made it really clear to me, the pro days, Jaden Daniels playing in the college NFL, which I call me and my brother, Vincent Akakeek, called the SEC. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback. His touchdown interception ratio is immense. He does not make mistakes. He throws people open with his eyes. I know people say, well, he struggles across throwing in the middle of the field. When he needs to throw across the middle of the field, he does. When he gets sacked, he gets sacked. I heard you talking about this a couple of weeks ago. He gets sacked, but he doesn't get sacked because he's irresponsible from the pocket. And what I also like is he keeps his eyes down the field when he's trying to make plays with his arm. And I'll leave with this. The Florida State defense before the debacle of the bowl game was a heck of a defense. And I really thought, if watching this game, I didn't know who Jaden Daniels was. I was like, is this kid about to win the game for LSU? Is he about to bring him back by himself? So that's what I got. I would be mad if they drafted Drake May.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
I don't agree with most of his Drake May assessments, including that he throws too many picks. I mean, if you actually do the numbers, because he threw it a lot more, it's not that different. It's actually almost an identical interception percentage last year for Drake May, who threw 9 picks and 430 passes, compared to Jaden Daniels, who threw 4 and a couple hundred passes. Having said that, I could pick nits on that. I get liking Jaden Daniels. I mean, the guy balled out against great defenses all year long. And pretty much, I don't want to say he was a one-man band or did anything all by himself, but he would throw the team on his back when he needed to. He had a couple first-round receivers he was slinging it to.
That'll help you.
But I'm still a big Daniels believer. Johnny's in D.C. Worst thing they can do at number two.
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
The worst that they can do is stand pat and draft J.J. McCarthy. That would bother me in a big way. Because if they're going to draft that guy, you can draft down by all reports and get him. But if they tell us, oh, we wanted to make sure we got our guy, and they stand there and draft him with the other quarterbacks on the board, that would just ruin all this great momentum that we've had with all of these solid signings. And that would just really be hard to stomach for me personally.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. Did you see Bryce Harper's jacket that he walked into the ballpark?
He's a longtime Philly guy. Very authentic.
Phillies, 76ers, representing the Flyers and Eagles as well. All of them on one jacket.
That's so great.
He loves Philly,
That's
man.
Great.
I think he was eating a cheesesteak and watching Rocky and listening to the Roots and studying about the Liberty Bell.
Liberty Bell underpants.
All at the same time.
Very authentic.
While he was wearing the jacket. Thank you guys for listening today and all week long. Monday should be a lot of fun. Opening day show on G&D.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.